what would you say made you cheat? Was there anything in particular?
No, it would be, I would say every time it was me just completely not being honest with myself or the other person about where I was at or what I needed. Also not knowing what would work or not work for me in a relationship. And then me doing people pleasing for sure in it. And being and not saying if something didn't work for me, and then me resenting the person, not communicating about it, and then looking for an out. That's what it was every time.
So it sounds like a lot of general little things.
Lots of general little
because
things.
Because I feel like you date women, and I know I'm straight, but it's like if someone was to cheat on me, a lot of times my first thought is like, what am I not giving this person sexually that they went to someone else for the sex? But right. I think a lot of the times it's not only sexually stuff, it's other things that might just be little resentments. And it's
it's looking for a hit of validation. And I remember talking to someone, I was talking to a therapist about it, and he was like, here's the thing. He's like, when you meet somebody new, he's like, that's a hit. He's like, that person has the benefit of being new.
Yeah.
They haven't heard your stories. They haven't seen you, you know, without your tooth, like, or whatever, whatever is going on. Like, they haven't seen you had up a bunch of bad shows or whatever it is. Like, they see you when you're shiny and new. And that is a high because you get that validation of, oh, this person sees me like this. I don't have to do the work to then be like this. Let me just temporarily ride out for a couple months of having someone look at me like that. But the problem is, you know, there's lots of problem there. Also, one big one is it's not fair. You're doing something. It's very wrong. I mean, it's truly not right. Yes.
But it's that's always the big question is why did the person
cheat? Was never a sexual thing for me. It was always just being very, very cowardly and not. And I can I mean. Not to throw myself under the bus too much, but I feel very comfortable doing it in this regard. It's like, truly, there was almost nothing that they could do.
Yeah.
Because when you do something that wrong, that's a real personal issue of stuff that the person has fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we're playing soccer. They've cheated. They've literally cheated. you're cheating. You're not playing in the same game that we agreed to be playing in.
Right.
And you've done something wrong, and you're going to get audited. I don't know if the IRS is in cahoots with women everywhere, but I got audited for 2018 and 2019, and I'm telling you, there's some hotline. Women are talking, and if you're a guy and you cheat, they find out, they hit you. Two audits.
They make you do paperwork.
They make you do a lot of paperwork.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spira, and I have a very fun, little bit of an ADD episode for you guys today with my good buddy, Emma Willman. So, so funny. I've been trying to get her on the pod for a minute. Definitely check her out. She's on TikTok, Instagram, everything at Emma Willman. She's so funny. Tours all over. Make sure you see her if she's coming to your town because you're going to fall in love with her during this episode. So before I get to my interview with Emma, real quick, we are sponsored by SunsetLakeCBD.com, and we have a promo code for you guys, which is SGS20 for 20% off their entire website. I love their stuff. I am taking their stuff with me on my flight for my trip coming up to help me sleep. They got some CBD drops that are legal all over the world with a little bit of melatonin in it. That's one of my favorite products, and they also have gummies now that have melatonin in them as well. So definitely check them out, especially if you have any flights coming up, you're doing some international traveling this summer. Huge, huge help to avoid jet lag. Use our code SGS20 for 20% off, sunsetlakecbd.com. They are truly the best. They also have cute packaging, so if you want to get a gift for somebody, a great gift for any weddings, going on their honeymoon, definitely, definitely check them out. They like high quality stuff. And it's the lowest prices I've ever been able to find when I've been looking for these types of products. SunsetLakeCBD.com, promo code SGS20. And if you want extra discounts, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. I'm doing giveaways over there of the product, and you'll get an extra percent off if you join the gang. patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. And we've got a Patreon preview coming up at the end of this episode to get a little taste of what's going on back there. And next week I'm actually doing a full public Patreon preview, so make sure you don't miss that. And we're almost at our goal of 300 members, and when we hit 300 we'll be doing a live stream for Patreon only, featuring your favorite guest answering all your questions, having a wild uncensored time. All right, if you're enjoying the show, subscribe to the YouTube page. All right. If you want to watch the show, it's a little more fun over there and it's free. Just go click the link in our description, head over to the YouTube page or search us at Shooters Gotta Shoot Podcast. So without further ado, I bring to you guys our next guest, Emma Willman. One of my personal favorites. You might have seen her on Comedy Central or performing all over the city or all over the country. Everybody, please put your hands together for the lovely Emma Willman.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you so much. Yes. I appreciate that.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I've been trying to get you on for a minute. Can I say this?
Please.
First lesbian guest of the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Too bad I switched guest. To bisexual. No, I'm just kidding. Erica's like, get out. No, I'm just kidding. That was a total joke. I did not, and not that there'd be anything wrong with that.
No, you're fine. We had a bisexual woman on.
Oh, nice.
But she technically didn't identify as bisexual. That was a fun pivot.
You
just
did
up
it
top.
For her? You're like, I put my first gay guest, and she's like, I'm not gay. You're like, oh, your haircut is.
I said bisexual. She was like, well, I'm fluid. And then it was like, looking at the questions we prepared, like, so being fluid.
Yeah.
Sexually fluid, which nothing wrong with anything.
Absolutely, nothing wrong with anything. I've been saying that now just to like, anytime I need to backtrack at all, I'm like, nothing wrong with anything. They're like, you're just trying to buy a candy bar. I'm like, and if I wasn't, that'd be okay too. And if you were, it's all good. Everything is good. It's all okay.
That reassures me that you also have to.
Of course. I know. The difference is, I think about this sometimes, like I get some wiggle room with it, at least when it comes to like sexuality stuff, I do get a little bit of wiggle room. But I actually... This coming Friday, I have never done a gay pride show before.
Really?
And I never have. I mean, I've maybe done like sets at them and stuff, but this is my first. I'm doing an hour in Orlando. And it's not just gay pride. I did a gay guys resort once and I was really nervous and it was actually really fun.
But you were saying like where you're the main act. For the pride show.
And for that one, I was too. Okay. But it was different because it was like older gay men. It was in Punta Cana. It was years ago. But this one's like young lesbians in Orlando. And I'm so scared. I feel like they're all going to be so cool. And like, I haven't tailored my act for that. And some, like, I just am like, I feel like I'm not. I don't. It's not like a gay party isn't the vibe, you know, of my act.
Funny.
And I feel like that's. Like last night, my girlfriend, because I was like, oh, I'm nervous about this. And she was like, you have to cater to them. She's like, your material, you're not catering towards them. And I was like, I've never wanted to. She's like, but this time you have to. And I was like, well,
really?
How should I start? And listen to what she said for her big idea to start with.
Start.
She's like, you got to come out strong. You got to bring them all together. It's like, okay, they're like lesbians. It's a party. Go out there and you should be like, what's up, you cunt lickers? And I was like, what? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, I'm fucked. I'm like, who the fuck am I going to brainstorm with about this?
What a hard opening. That's hard, dude.
I can't even say that. That's crazy. Hard. That is making me blush. Like, that's fucking... Well, would you feel... Well, have you done a show for all Italian people before?
Yes.
You have? Okay.
Yes. And it's... But the thing is, like, you have the leg up when you just go, I'm Italian.
Right.
That's it. That's you just gotta be like, clearly I'm gay.
I'm gonna come out and say that. I'm gonna be like, I'm gay. And then I'm just gonna black out and I'm gonna be like, huh?
Yeah. But literally that's it.
I hope so. I mean, that's how I feel when someone says something. I mean, and it's like there can be that can be the thread and then everything else could be different. Like you know, the race, class, gender, all, everything other like there could be no other commonalities, but then that one commonality is you know, a substantial thing.
I mean, from the jokes I've seen you do, I feel like you just start with the material that's about coming out.
But I'm nervous that that it's not like we'll see. I did Ashley Gavin, the comic in New York, and I did her show a couple weeks ago, and it's got a lot of lesbians at that. And I did like two things like for them, and it went well, and I almost like cried from relief.
Funny,
weird.
This it's like weirdly not
Isn't
a relief,
weird?
But it's funny to be like you're a gay comic,
yeah,
lesbian comic specifically. Mm-hmm. In a show with a room full of lesbians, you're more nervous.
Way more nervous because I've just not it's not what I've like catered to necessarily. And so that, I don't know, it just makes me more, I'm just kind of like nervous about it. I'm like, it's just like a different thing. I hope, we'll see.
Let me answer this. Room full of lesbians or urban room? What are you more nervous?
Lesbians, 100%. Because I've done probably like, I used to do this urban room up in Queens years ago. Now, Now, I was only doing like 10 minutes at that room.
Right, but you've done the room.
I've done the rooms. Yeah. If you said an hour, I would still pick a urban room. I'd be more comfortable.
Me too, honestly.
Yeah.
Me too.
In front of a bunch of
urban
lesbians?
Urban room? No, urban room.
Yeah.
I'd pick, hands down, over right. urban lesbians. Yeah.
No, but you could. But, you could.
But because I've just performed in urban rooms before.
Right.
Not a ton, but enough to go, I know what jokes work.
Right.
I know what to open with.
Absolutely.
You know?
I get more silly in an urban. I cater. I'll be like, I'll, like, do, more, I'll do more movements. Like, I kind of. I just like act it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, you're crazy. That's usually.
But an urban room, I feel like, is very, they just want you to be who you are.
Yes.
And almost a little bit what their perception is.
Yes.
So you come out and they're like, this girl's gay. And then you're like, I'm gay. They're like, nailed it.
Right. Locked right. In, right. It, you know? Right. Yeah. It'd be real tense in an urban room if I like didn't. But it's like you like there was this urban room I used to do. It was up in Queens. And I wish I could remember the woman who ran it. It was so fun. And it was like, it was in this giant warehouse. And they would serve, I'm saying what happened. I'm not, this is literally, I'm about to recount what happened as it happened with nothing around. This is how it always is or anything. But what happened at this particular show was they would serve, it was like a chicken and waffle show.
Oh, hell yeah.
So they would eat fried chicken at the show and then, and chick, maybe they'd also had grilled chicken. I know I for a fact saw fried chicken only. It could have been a kebab in the back. I don't know, whatever. But they would have fried chicken at the show and like waffles. And then people would like sit and watch the show. And I remember going and it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, though. This was like years. I didn't get invited back. No, I'm sorry. I did it a couple times. Have you done one recently?
No, haven't in a while.
Me neither.
I remember I did one in Jersey.
Nice.
And I forget even the town, but it was the Hood in Jersey.
Yep.
Only white person on the show.
Nice, nice.
And I was just so relieved to do well. And I was actually dating a guy who was half black, half white at the time. He came with me to the show.
Wow.
And I remember when I got off stage, he was in the back. He was like, yeah, not going to lie, I was very nervous for you. Like, he like held it
sure.
in. And he was like, oh, you did great. He was woo! Like, woo, that could have been bad. I was
totally.
Like, yeah, no shit.
That's great.
Yeah, but I just addressed it. I was like, I'm the white person of the show. This is how I opened. I was like, yeah, I'm the white member of the show. And they just laughed. I was like, okay, all
right. Right.
We all know.
We cleared the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of a relief when you like can identify what the thing is people are thinking too. Because sometimes that it gets more like convoluted or trickier.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't know you. And if people know you, then that gets like more, not cat, more, they know you, you know what they're thinking more because you know what they know about you.
Yeah, I've never had a, I know I look like joke ever.
Right.
I've never had it.
That's probably good.
Like, I mean, but then in those situations or like a late night set,
right.
it's bad. Where they're like,
yeah.
we want the thing that cracks the ice.
Right.
And I'm like,
I think about that all the time.
Yeah,
I think about it all the time because I'm like, that's one of the like toughest things I found addressing, but maybe everyone feels that way. I don't know.
I can't put my finger on it.
I can't put my finger on
all
it.
All right. So
are you dating anybody right now?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I was just briefly dating someone. Ended like about a month ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's all right. It wasn't it was like, we're not dating other people. Let's see. And then, you know, classic end.
What's a classic end?
Okay. Well, no, this isn't the reason the classic end, but I had a question on here. I was going to
Okay.
ask
awesome.
You,
please.
Because
anything.
I find this happens actually more in lesbian communities.
Okay.
Of how do you feel about people being friends with their ex?
That's so true that does happen more.
It's so
really
common.
I wonder. So I've thought about that a lot, and I think maybe I remember talking about it with this friend of mine. And the hypothesis was, you know, one, there's like it's a smaller community. You're like bonded by that otherness, so you have that connection outside of what your relationship was. But I've had that. It was like I've found. You know, I've dated also a lot of mostly bisexuals. My girlfriend is bisexual now. And I've noticed with her, she was more like, it's weird. Like there was, I remember I landed in Denver a little while ago. And for full context, I'm dyslexic. I have awful spelling. And I asked my girlfriend, I'll tie this together. And I didn't do well in school.
I just already know you fucked up somewhere. And I'm very excited to hear it.
So I asked her, I was like, can you, because sometimes she would call me and be like, Emma, like your Instagram, like you tried to spell potato, but you spelled it Xanax. Like, this is crazy. So I said, can you go in and change it? So I was like, please, please. So I gave her my Instagram and was like, if I spell something crazily wrong, please, please correct it if you don't mind. So she was like, no problem.
Full open there.
Absolutely. So this is, I didn't even think anything of this. I landed in Denver and I was like, oh shit, my ex who I'd stayed friends with over the years, but I hadn't talked to in like 6 years. I was like, she lives in Denver and I was going to Fort Collins, but I was like, hey, I just landed at the Denver airport. Like, let me know if you're around. Like, I'd love to get lunch with you one time while I'm here. I forget about it. the ex didn't even write me back. And then my girlfriend was like, I was correcting something in your Instagram and this popped up. Like, isn't that your ex? And I was like, yeah, it's my ex. And she was like, that's weird. Yeah. And I was like, no. And then I, as I was saying that, I was like, I see how it's weird. She was like, it seems like you just landed in the airport and wanted to meet up with her just while you're in town. And I was like, well, I did, but it was, but it wasn't, it's not like that. And I see why, but I don't know. To me, it didn't seem weird at all. And I didn't have a weird intention behind it. But maybe if she had said that with a boyfriend, I would have.
Okay. Here's where I don't think it's
I love
bad.
Not applying my own rules. I like having my own set of rules and not what I want. I want to not work out and get the results. I like to do what I want and not have to make the compromises.
Yeah. Ah! Okay. Here's where your scenario I'm cool with. That woman doesn't live where we live if I'm dating you. And I understand you going, I'm in her city.
But doesn't it make it a little more sketchy? Because it's like, I'm in town for a show. That's not how
sketchy
I thought
if you
of
don't
it,
tell her. If you tell me, but it's like, oh, I'm in Denver.
Right.
I'm in Denver once a year, maybe twice, right?
Now, how for about comedy. The timing of the tell? Because I feel like, wouldn't the person need to tell you before they go to Denver? Or is it okay if they tell you after the fact? Like, hey,
that
Erica,
part debatable.
Yeah.
I feel like just being like, oh, it just, you got to go, oh, I forgot my ex lives in Denver.
Right.
I'm going to just get a coffee with them, catch up.
Right.
I feel like it's like, this bitch doesn't live here. But you know what I mean?
You
like,
don't think that makes it more sketchy, though? Because it's like,
look, the ideal world is you never talk to your ex, you never see them ever again.
Really?
But I understand people going, an ex of a long time ago.
Long time. We're talking.
Long time ago.
College.
It ended okay. Oh, college. Yeah. That's
what I said.
Yeah. Okay. The comfort is like,
I was
you're
drunk.
In Denver. Yeah.
Yeah.
You like, only thought of this person because you were in the town that they live in. That makes sense. If this was a person that lived in New York and you would see frequently
no.
of making plans with, absolutely
right.
fucking not.
I have an ex in town that she lives in Brooklyn and we always try to get together when we have another college friend in town. So say that's like once every other year and that's lovely. I don't know if it's true that like, because I do know that more people, queer people do seem to be friends with exes. I don't know if that's good or bad, though. I really don't. I mean, because there's something about, oh, it's so comforting you've known this person. But if I'm being 100% honest, I mean, I really value some of my exes and have so much respect. But like, I mean, I was just, one of them just texted me right now. They didn't text me forever. They're like, is everybody asking you about Mae Martin? I was like, my own mother thinks I'm Mae Martin. I'm like, I don't even, that's just on a show, whatever. But so I hadn't heard from her in a really long time.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I can. My girlfriend's very cautious about, like, she's friends with an ex of hers, but she always, like, tells me before and after when they talk.
Yes. Because, so here's the thing I've noticed also with all my friends that are lesbians is, especially in college, I was at a small school, so it's like, lesbian community, not huge.
And didn't you play?
Basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, so, essentially, all my friends across the board were all athletes. So, whether they're on my team or other teams.
Sure.
So, like, yeah, a good percentage of lesbian population were there, right? But also non-athletes. But basically, I was friends with enough girls just from my team and like the hockey team because one of the basketball girls was dating a hockey girl.
Right,
so our
right.
teams would hang.
Right.
Of all of a sudden, like there'd be many times like I'm at the lunch table and it's 10 lesbians and me.
Sure.
Fine. But the part that I was like, this is the thing about being a lesbian that I was like, I don't know if I'd be cool with was like all the time, not even the you dated someone, you hang with your ex. But I'm like, so you're all into women. I was like, how do you navigate like, two lesbians are hanging out one-on-one together all the time and are really, really close, and you're dating one of them, and, like, you got to be cool with that friendship and not feel like anything's happening.
Easy peasy lemon breezy.
It's easy?
It's easy.
It is?
It's so easy because it's
do you know
like,
how many cheating stories happened in my school?
I mean, I don't know if they're all, see, for it's it comes down to, like, I've got a very, like, I'm attracted to hyper femininity, no hick of masculinity, not even a fucking smidge,
okay.
not even a dot.
Okay.
Like they could be, it could be Carmen Electra, objectifiable smoke show motherfucker. She's sitting at the table. She's at the restaurant early. I go over, I'm like, it's so nice to meet you. And she stands up and is like, what's up? I'm walking out. There's no what's up. We're all what's down from that. What's up? Nothing's up. Everything's down. I'm so glad you came out. I'm so appreciate our friend for setting him up. I'm going to fucking kill him. Have a good night, you sneaky man one. I know that's totally fucked up to say and wrong, and I fully respect that. Or I'd be like, let's be buddies.
Okay.
But if there's any, for me, it's like, it's so like clear if you're there is an attraction there or not. It's just about being like honest about it. Like my old roommate, we met because someone tried to set us up. And right away, we were both like, no. No.
To masculine energy of the relationship?
No, she's so feminine. She's wonderful. I don't know. We both
Oh, funny. Okay.
She wasn't attracted to me, and I don't know. I maybe that she was so not into me made me be like, okay. And then I was not into her like that. Okay. But I adored her. We became really, really good friends. And then we had a great, like, such a good roommate relationship. And we've always stayed in touch. But she would have, I remember when she'd have girlfriends come over. And as I got to know her type, I'm not her type. And she's not my type at all either. Like,
yeah,
she's so feminine, but she's not like I've always liked really like vampy too.
Okay.
She's just, like, it just wasn't, there was no attraction there. So we lived together, but her girlfriends would always be like, oh, that's your roommate. Mm. And then I would be very careful to try to play lip service to them. So okay. They'd come over, they're super butch, and I'd be like, it's so nice to meet you. I'd almost, like, flirt in a way. Like, I'd be like, I love your shoes. Like, oh, you work in construction? Like, that's awesome. I wish I could do that, but, like, I'm not strong enough. Like, oh, I wish I had muscles like you. And they'd be like, well, I do eat a lot of protein. And you're like, oh, if only I could play softball like you do. You know what? Like, whatever. Like, I try to make them comfortable.
Okay, so I understand you're being like, that's not my type, and you have a specific
yeah.
type. So then that therefore makes you cool with, like, so you're, but put it this way, if you're a super feminine girlfriend
yes.
who's into you, you're more masculine, is hanging out with another super feminine lesbian.
Great.
You're not at all worried because you're almost go, she's attracted to the masculine type of lesbian like myself.
There's no, it would literally be like, I would be as jealous. I would be more jealous if she hung out with potato salad, because I'd be like, you're going to go eat potato salad without. I'm hungry. I want potato salad. Like, I'd be like, I would be more jealous if she went to McDonald's without me. Like, I'd be more jealous.
Really?
The hierarchy of me being like, that's not even.
So even if she was hanging out with a lesbian a lot, that was similar vibe to you, similar look to you.
Similar vibe or look cool. to me? No.
Oh, okay. So this is where the little, line comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, if it was a little fucking
so it's not always
moronic man one, but it's easy breezy because it's big. Let me see this motherfucker.
Oh.
And my girlfriend wouldn't do that anyway. She's like, if she was like, I met this dyslexic idiot, they had mustard all over their shirt, I'd be like, I'm jealous. You know?
You're trying to replace me.
Yeah, exactly. She'd be like, this person has IBS, they shit their pants. I'd be like, you can't talk to them. That's my place. You
but
know? This,
but just of my friends in college, it would happen all the time of cheating.
Really?
And it kind of was this thing of like, one, the pool's not that big.
Right.
And, two,
and it's mean. You shouldn't do that.
But that's the question I asked them. I said, how do you differentiate
right.
two people hang out? Because women just tend to be friends with women, regardless right. of orientation. So there's that game. And it's like, and I'm someone that's always had male friends.
Mm.
So if I date someone that has close female friends that hang out with one-on-one, I kind of can't throw shit if
sure.
I have the same thing.
So I guess it's the same
on
thing.
My
it's like,
side.
You know when you're not attracted to a guy. Or, you know yeah. what I mean? And then it's like, it's just, I mean, attraction is such an interesting, like, metaphysical, bizarre thing that is hard. To, you know, if we could all control our attraction, the world would be such a different place.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God.
Like, yeah.
Radically, radically different. So it's just like you just know when you are not. But I would say to the people that are, like, interhooking up, that you also, part of a respect of a relationship is, like, don't put yourself in a situation, you know.
That's what we say. But if you hang out with someone one-on-one a lot, that's where it's like, well, that's
right.
where the opportunity comes
right.
in. Or it's like, I could be dating a guy and he goes, that guy friend of yours wants to sleep with you. And I'm like, no, he doesn't.
And
nothing's ever happened.
I think it is good to listen to that too, because it's like, well, why are you getting that vibe? Why do you feel that way?
They get the vibe.
Yeah, sometimes I think like 9 out of 10 times
yeah.
people, you can tell.
That was the guy I was dating. I saw, there was a scenario that all of us were there and the ex was there. And I saw the two of them interact, and I was like, that's not nothing.
I believe that,
and
100%.
And he was like, I feel nothing for her. I go, I don't fucking buy it.
Yep.
I saw it. Like, I didn't tell him that, but my gut was like, get out.
Absolutely.
I was like, some shit is going to go down, and they're hanging out
one-on-one. Did they get back together?
I don't think so, but it's, I'll tell you off air sometimes,
yeah.
so I can know, that you'll be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Of just, essentially, things I found out they did together and hanging out that I'm like, that's a date.
It's a date.
That's a date.
Right.
That's, I don't care if you split the bill. That's a
totally.
Date.
Totally.
Like, it's just datey shit like that. You're like, that's.
Sure.
And like you said, it's disrespectful to you. Like,
she should be paying you major lip service. If
yes,
you,
yes,
if
yes.
I meet someone's ex now, or if I meet in any way, I think in any, that someone's going to be like, feel weird around me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That I can't quickly enough be like, it's so nice to meet you. I've heard all about you. Like, this is a, like, what a treat. Like,
mm-hmm.
you. Like, I think that that's so important. Because it's mm-hmm. also out of respect for the person that you're with.
Yeah.
Like, being hospitable to someone's friends, especially if they might feel threatened for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So she should have fucking sucked your toes, is what I'm trying to say. Like, immediately.
Service, lip service just means flirting. That's essentially what you're saying.
Lip service.
Or like kissing ass.
Kissing ass.
Kissing ass.
I mean,
okay.
flirting in a non-sexual way, but they should have been trying to make you in a sincere way. Don't
yes.
do it if you don't. If you do, because if she was doing that, then you would have been like, don't try to be sneaky on me, motherfucker.
Mm.
But if she was trying to make you comfortable and be like, there's nothing here, like, honestly, I'm not attracted to that. Like, you know, I'm interested in this part. You know what I mean? That's important to put you at ease.
Yeah, I agree. Just essentially, the ex, the big question is always like, what do you get out of this relationship that you don't get from ours if it's a continuous thing?
Yeah.
So visiting in Colorado, a quick coffee, a quick catch up.
Right.
I don't see that as a problem.
After I explained it, she was like, all right. She's like, I kind of just wish you had said something. And I forgot I did it because I landed at like 6 a.m. and it was a weird flight.
Yeah.
And then I messaged her when I was in Denver, and then I went to Fort Collins, and then she wrote me back a couple days later. I was like, oh, I didn't even remember doing that.
Yeah, funny. Well, can I ask you this though?
Yeah.
You're in your current relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever cheated?
No. Have I ever in life?
No. In that relationship.
In my relationship now?
Yeah.
Imagine I was like, all the time. No, never, never.
Okay.
Never.
Well, that's another thing of like,
yeah.
Oh, if you've cheated on this girl, Emma, I'd be like, yeah, you can't
of
hit
course,
up. You don't have ex privileges.
Right. No.
Those are taken
away. That's
true.
That's a really good point.
Those are taken away.
That is a really good point.
Yeah.
You can get you if that is true. It's like if you, and that's like, I mean, then you're in a real slippery slope when it's like, because it's like, I don't want someone to not cheat on me because I just don't let them see the ex. You know what I mean? It's like, so
yes.
If I allowed you to do that, then it'd be all over. Like, that's like, that sucks.
But it's almost this like winning back on good behavior.
Right, totally.
Like, I'm not even going to give you a reason
right.
to think that I might.
Right.
I fucked up that one time and you took me back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have cheated in the past.
I have in the past,
yeah.
Yes.
Was it many times? Did you say you were a serial cheater?
I would say I was a serial cheater, and it's probably one of my deepest regrets. And it's also like one of I just feel so bad because the more like over COVID, I spent a lot of time learning about like ADHD and like learning just about like impulse control and like things that I didn't even know would have been connected to cheating. Like, because so much of it,
yeah,
it's, you
I'll
know,
be honest, haven't heard that excuse yet. Like, I'm a cheater because I have ADHD.
It can't be an excuse. So anything is, you have to take 100% responsibility for it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like cowardly, a lack of communication. It's wanting to control the entire scenario because when you do that, then you're basically I'm just using words that how I would use it for myself. It's like me trying to play God in a scenario so I can control how I feel and mitigate the risk for myself, putting everyone else at harm.
Yeah.
And the karma of that. Mm. Let me just tell you this: I went without a front tooth for a full year. So. My tooth popped out about a year ago, and I got audited twice, and I deserve every fucking second of that because I've cheated continually. I after it popped out, and then I went to the bad dentist. You saw me. My face was all fucked up. That's all karma, baby. That's all karma because I cheated, and I feel so – I seriously regret it. So it's like that. Like, you know, I'm sober now. Like, I'm going to have to go back. I'll do a – you know, make amends.
That's so far. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I also developed
like,
IBS.
It all happened. People.
And I think because of that. I think guilt, like, and I literally have developed stomach issues. And I think it's because of bad karma residuating,
yeah.
percolating from my cowardly ways.
Guilt for sure. That accurately can fuck with your stomach. Same way anxiety does.
Yeah.
I'm not an anxious person. And then if I have a day I'm very anxious about something coming up, I notice like I'm not hungry and my stomach's in knots.
Mm.
And that's when I hit up my anxious friends like, is this how you feel all the time?
Do they know you're do they know that they're your anxious friends?
Yes, they do.
Like, hi, Erica.
There's a friend of the pod yeah. I call Anxious Sarah.
Yeah.
And
is she so
dating,
anxious about you calling her? She's like, let's
no, it. She laughs at it. She's
right.
like, I like that I'm Anxious Sarah. I'm like, well, that's who you are. And I would consult her about the guy I was dating was super anxious. And I'd go, okay. Like, I consulted with her of, like, the ending convo, because I go, is this man going to hold on to everything I say? She said, yeah. She's like, so pick your words wisely. I was like, okay. But, like, truly, I hit them up, and they're like, yeah, this is how we always feel. Like, welcome to the show, you know?
Interesting.
I know.
I wonder, do you think it's just biologically, you're just, like, well-rounded? Biologically, like, your hormones are all in check?
I almost feel like it was, like, sports.
Really?
Because it's, like, you don't have time to think about situations so long.
I could see that. It is kind of a privileged thing, a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, or also, like, and naturally, I'm very decisive. So when I
not.
Make a decision, I make the decision.
I gotta get like that.
I don't sit there and go, oh man, da, 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 da. So then the times I have something I cannot decide on drives me insane.
My entire life is, oh man, maybe I should do this. And I should
yeah,
decide.
No, I'm not like that at all.
I am trying to move away from that with every ounce of my being. But okay, I'm getting confused of all the things I read about like what's narcissistic and what's ADHD or not. But it seems that sometimes, so I may be fucking this up, but it's like there's something art narcissistic about never making a decision because then you never have to. I think I'm conflating things.
Upset people.
Then you're also never committing to everything, so
yes.
you're also like getting to like kind of control. I don't think that's a narcissist behavior.
I would say it's more narcissist than anxious. Anxious usually is a people pleaser and says yes to everything and does too much.
Right.
And narcissistic, I can see, maybe that isn't correct, but people that like to be liked. Mm-hmm. So when you like to be liked, you don't want to upset anybody.
Yes.
So you are less likely to make the call.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go back and forth in decision. Or you time hop or play out scenarios too. But it's not good. It's very, because a decision, no matter what, right one, wrong one, it makes you move forward.
Mm, okay. Can I ask you this though, mm-hmm. about the cheating? What would you say made you cheat? Was there anything in particular?
Yes. The color orange. No, I'm just kidding. I imagine something so simple like that. I fucking hate. No, it would be, I would say every time it was me just completely not being honest with myself or the other person about where I was at or what I needed. Also not knowing what would work or not work for me in a relationship. And then me doing people pleasing for sure in it. And being and not saying if something didn't work for me, and then me resenting the person, not communicating about it, and then looking for an out. That's what it was every time.
So it sounds like a lot of general little things.
Lots of general little
things. Because I feel like you date women, mm-hmm. and I know I'm straight, but it's like if someone was to cheat on me, a lot of times my first thought is like, what am I not giving this person sexually that they went to someone else for the sex? But right. I think a lot of the times it's not only sexually stuff, it's other things that might just be little resentments, and it's
looking for a hit of validation. And I remember talking to someone, I was talking to a therapist about it, and he was like, here's the thing, he's like, when you meet somebody new, he's like, that's a hit. He's like, that person has the benefit of being new. They haven't heard your stories, they haven't seen you know, without your tooth, like, or whatever whatever is going on, like they haven't seen you had up a bunch of bad shows or whatever it is, like they see you when you're shiny and new. And that is a high, because you get that validation of, oh, this person sees me like this. I don't have to do the work to then be like this. Let me just temporarily ride out for a couple months of having someone look at me like that. But the problem is, you know, there's lots of problem there. Also, one big one is it's not fair. You're doing something. It's very wrong. I mean, I'm not saying it's right. Yes.
But that's always the big question is, why did the person
cheat? Was never a sexual thing for me. It was always just being very, very cowardly and not. And I can, I mean, not to throw myself under the bus too much, but I feel very comfortable doing it in this regard. It's like, truly, there was almost nothing that they could do.
Yeah.
Because when you do something that wrong, that's a real personal issue of stuff that the person has fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we're playing soccer. They've cheated. They've literally cheated. you're cheating. You're not playing in the same game that we agreed to be playing in. Right. And you've done something wrong. And you're going to get audited. I don't know if the IRS is in cahoots with women everywhere, but I got audited for 2018 and 2019. And I'm telling you, there's some hotline. Women are talking. And if you're a guy and you cheat, they find out, they hit you. Two audits.
They make you do paperwork.
They make you do a lot of paperwork.
Oh, that's so funny. But the thing on the new, too, is you have the just general excitement.
Totally.
Because anyone you date, you're like, oh, there's that excitement honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. You're like kind of crazy about them, or 100%. Just starting to like obsess with them.
Yes.
And very quickly you're like, oh, we're in this routine that's mundane. Like I've had that with, since I have spent majority of my time single, right? All my friends that are always in long-term relationships, I always hit the point with someone where I'm like, yeah, and then we were just like hanging out at their apartment and it kind of felt like we were just friends. Like I was like, then I got in my head of like, do we not like each other anymore? And they're like, no, that's what it eventually is.
Right.
Is there like that kind of excitement is gone, and it really does sometimes just feel like you're friends.
Feel like you're friends, and then there's like work that comes in, because it's like, okay, and now we need to buckle down and like keep it exciting in certain ways. And I think that's part of why it's hard. Mm-hmm. But then also it's fun too. It's got to also then just be like fun.
Yeah.
But.
Definitely.
That's also why it's also work.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested in people that are in really long-term relationships, and I think it's like, I don't know, it's a great thing.
What was your longest relationship?
This is my longest one right now.
How long? Did I meet this girl?
4 months. No, I'm just kidding. It's about over a year. You've met her. She's been at the stand.
Okay, yeah. I was like,
And she's really funny. Like, she's so smart. I love to listen to her. Like, she's great.
Yeah.
And I'm in a better place to be in a relationship, too. Also, like, now that I've learned more about, now that I know more about how my brain works, I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, so much of that, because when you don't know that stuff at the time, like me back in the day, I would have been like, well, this person did this, and then I met someone else, and this and this. And it's like, no. I was scared. I didn't have communication stuff. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I could offer. And, you know, and then I saw dopamine and I wanted excited. I wasn't thinking out the consequences. Like, these are all irresponsible, reckless behaviors that are not good. Mm-hmm. So now I know, like, I told my girlfriend, like, I'd say, like, 6 months ago at, like, 5 a.m. I was going through TSA. And I think the TSA person was flirting with me. And I was like, is she flirting with me? And I got really excited. And I, like, wanted to go walk through TSA again. Like, I was kind of like, what was that? And then I was like, no, you're really tired. You're hungry. You're looking for dopamine and validation. Mm. Like, not to keep bringing up the tooth, but I was missing my tooth. Like, I hadn't gotten hit on in, a long time. My girlfriend makes me feel very good about myself, so I don't need that. But I did. I remember, like, feeling and wanting that high. Mm-hmm. And then I just, that I knew that that's, it wasn't about this other person. It was about me wanting a high. Right. Mm-hmm. And that makes it way less powerful. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of
sense. Like, when you're like, it's not you. It's, like, me wanting this. And yeah. I, you know. Mm-hmm.
Something, but I can new, get something exciting,
yeah. Right? But it's not really. We don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It's just the flirtiness.
It's just like, or it's just like wanting someone to change things. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, if I was with this person, my life would be different. But it's like, wherever you go, whoever you're with, you are still there.
Yeah, you're still you.
You're still you.
You're still your half of the relationship. Yep. Oh, 1,000%. So I have to ask this. Also, what time are we at?
Like a half hour.
Okay. Okay. So. Lesbians typically move very fast, right?
This is what I have heard, yes. But you. I will say, in New York, I don't know, straight people be moving quick, too.
Well, in terms of, like, moving in.
Yeah.
Yes. Or I'd say, especially later years of life.
Yes.
Like once in your 30s, you date someone 1 year, you typically move in the next
right.
year.
And that's also, I think there's, like, a few reasons for it. One of being, like, people wanting to, like, not pay two rents.
Yes. Okay, but here's the thing. Every lesbian I know has gotten into relationships very quickly. However. Mm. Ends of lesbian relationships are so hard and harsh and also quick.
Mm.
And I'm curious if you've
quick,
had any
but then
stories.
They stay friends?
No, just in general, like, literally almost every lesbian I know has a story of, I came home and all her shit was moved out.
Wow.
Like, hard leave, no warning, no conversation, just out.
That's
and,
insane.
And, like, take the dog.
I mean,
so I was curious if you've had any experience with this.
No, I haven't. I've only lived with two people, and one of them was like a temporary thing where they were looking for apartments. So I've only lived with one person, and when we ended, we broke up, and I was like, I ended up being out of there pretty quick.
Yeah,
I had this.
But you broke up. There was
we
a
broke up. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest. I was nervous asking. I was like, or are you the one who has packed up and left?
I've
Emma?
Never. I mean, I've only lived with one. I did pack up and leave in that situation.
No, but
it was
not
like,
a surprise. She comes home and all your shit's gone.
I've never done that. I'm not that organized. No, I've never done that because the closest thing I did to that, this is really fucked up, is I had been with someone for. Not as long as ideally I would like to like wait. Oh, I really like having my own space. And she was like, she really wanted to move in together. And her roommate was moving out. She's like, why don't you come live with me? And I didn't feel comfortable with it. And also we were together, but I had been traveling most of it. And I was in LA for like 3 months of a 5 month relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why I didn't just say no. And I can guarantee she would have been like, I understand. I did feel weird that she was like part of the pitch is like, I don't want another roommate. Like I get it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I get that. But I said yes, instead of voicing any of this. And I started getting more and more nervous. And I ended up finding a studio apartment right near where my current place was and like signing a lease and not telling her. So she thinks I'm moving in.
Oh.
And I'm not. Oh, and okay. Whew, I felt so bad. And then I was like packing my stuff up slowly and like bringing things over to my place, like kind of sneakily. And then I told her, I was like, I can't move in. And then we had a conversation about it. And she was obviously like super upset. We stayed together for like a couple months after that. But the relationship was really over at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was also tough. Like I just communicated so badly about it, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt so bad saying something that I knew she didn't want to hear that I. Eventually caused a way bigger problem.
Right, which is reasonable. But it's like, in that situation, there's a deadline of like, this person's moving out, and especially with rent, if she can't pay the whole rent by herself, it's like, okay, if you don't want to move in, I need to find another roommate.
100%.
So like, that's where I'd be like, Emma.
Yeah, but I was like, I will help you pay that part of the rent until you find someone.
Wow.
And she really played that card. She's like, I can't find someone for like 3 or 4 months. And I was like, it was absolutely brutal.
Ooh, you walked into that one.
Yeah, I did.
That's
she was
on
like,
you.
It's tough out here. I was like, is it? Is it? But also, I let that go on for longer than it should have because I felt bad. So I should have also had the boundary of being like, okay, this is now unreasonable.
Yeah.
Like, I also, side note, I think you're Airbnb-ing the apartment anyway because I'm Airbnb-ing mine out when I'm gone and I saw the fucking place on Airbnb. So I should have been like, I am no longer.
You should have sent her the listing.
I
would have sent her the listing.
I should have.
Okay.
But, yeah, I should have.
Unfortunately, we do have to wrap this up. I would love to have you on again.
Anytime.
Super, super fun. So there's two questions I like to ask people as they come on the show. What would you say is the best piece of dating advice that you have ever received?
Wow, that's such a good question.
Or just one of the best pieces, I guess.
Okay, this is from my girlfriend's mom, and this isn't dating, but it's just about like not going to bed angry at each other.
Okay.
And that's been like really like nice. Like, no, like we'll just like make sure not to go to bed mad, even if it's something like if we're like, usually it'll be me if like I'm being grumpy, like even if it's like something so dumb, mm-hmm. where then we just like make sure we're not angry before we go to bed.
Okay.
Even if it's like just like tickling the person or something. But I think of the best dating advice ever. My parents did not have a great relationship, so I definitely didn't get much dating advice from them. I mean, I guess advice from my mom would have been like, don't get an STD. My dad would have been like, sign a prenup.
Well, tell your mom I have an STD.
Okay.
Tell her your friends what a herpes
scale. Of course, so many people do. There's no problem with that at all whatsoever. So, you know what?
I'm gonna call your mom.
And you know what? She'd be like, I didn't think of it like that. You're sorry. I'm sorry.
I know your mom is like the most liberal.
So totally.
She'd go to
be
bed
like,
for anybody.
100%. Like, she'd be like, don't we all, you know, she'd be like, I am an STD.
I should be like, that's the plus in LGBTQ+. Yeah, yes. Okay. That is the STD people like me.
Yeah. Actually, why fucking not?
Yeah, throw us in.
Seriously.
Get in there.
That'd be great. Just a different part of the parade.
Yeah. Okay. We're the herpes positive people.
Clear the way. Yeah. No, everyone fucking has herpes. I know people are always the only people with herpes say that, but fucking.
Cold sores are herpes.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Yeah, I get that on my nose.
Yeah, so you have technically what I have.
Yep.
But it's like just how the world looks at it is different. Or like, when it comes to sex, it's like, I can't just go, if I feel one coming on, then we don't have sex. We're good. The way we do a cold sore.
And let me tell you, can confirm, you feel it coming on.
Yeah. You learn your triggers. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know when that starts itching, I get like a tingling.
Tingling is the main one. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You just got to keep a couple of Valtrex on hand. That's all you need. All right. So our last one, since we are shooters, got to shoot.
Yep.
We're all for shooting your shot, making a move. Can you remember a time that you shot your shot? And was it a hit or a miss?
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
This is a miss. This was really embarrassing.
Good.
I had
better.
This specific move I used to do.
Oh,
and it worked 100% of the time. And then it fucked up. And it was a big risk. And it fucked up to the point where then I didn't do it again for like 10 years. So my move was. So college, I was living it up in college. I had really good grades. I was doing student government. I had a really good looking girlfriend the first 2 years of college who was older than me. So then I was coasting the other 2 years. I peaked 100%. Okay. It just, you know, I was very ambitious without a lot of follow through. And in college, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your 20s, 30s, still living at your mom's house saying you're going to be a DJ, you're not as cool. But in college, so I'd have this move where it'd be like, if we have chemistry and it's going well, you know, only if there's chemistry. So I think you're not going to like this so much.
No, I want to hear it.
It's really stupid. I'm getting flashbacks of the time it didn't work. It's stupid, but it'd be only if we had a lot of chemistry. So say we're having a great time and it's so obvious that we're going to kiss.
Okay.
I would ask, like, if we're sitting close to each other, I'd be like, do you want to try kissing? I would ask that as I'm going in for the kiss anyway. So they wouldn't then be like, oh, meh, meh, meh. I would still be doing a dominant movement while asking a question, a submissive type question for them to feel. You always want the woman to be feeling agency. Same rule with butt stuff. I got my dating advice thing for butt stuff. If you're into butt stuff and you want to be introducing it, you need to make the woman feel like it's her idea. Go slow. Do feeling her butt in a way that then makes her be pushing into it. So she literally at some point is like, wants more.
Okay.
So I go. I go, do you want to try kissing? And they go, and in the past, it had been like, yeah. And then one time, I was out with this girl who we'd always flirted, I thought. But we were also like friends, and I always have a thing with friends. Like I've never put something in the bottle. I'm not like a friend maker outer. Like there's always like a pretty strong lines there. But this one friend, and I don't know, we were drinking. We were staying at my mom's. My mom had this really cool apartment, so it always kind of like looked cool when I would bring people over there. We're at my mom's, and I fucked up. She was in the back watching TV, and as I was walking to the back, so we weren't close and having the chemistry, I was like, hey, Stasha, do you want to try kissing? And then she paused for a minute. She goes, does that ever work? And I was like, what? And she's like, does that ever work? She's like, seriously, I'm a woman? She was like, you just yelled, do you want to try kissing? And I was like, no, I'm going to bed. And then I didn't do it again for like, yeah. She was
never
like,
again.
And then she like stuck her head and she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be mean. It's just like, she's like, honestly, like I probably, we like could have kissed, but like then you yelled that. And she's like, I can't take you seriously with that.
Yeah.
And she was like, you want to try kissing? And then she like went to bed and I was like,
hilarious.
It's pretty bad.
Also funny of when you said her name, I'm like, oh, you did end up dating her.
No, different person. Oh. Different one. Years later, I was with another
so
one.
So you bombed with that, Sasha.
That was Nastasha, and that was a friend. And yes, that kissing makeout thing, that was no. Yeah.
Funny, though, just one time it didn't work, you threw it out the window.
That was pretty, because she paused. Does that ever work?
Your ego's fragile.
Yeah, that was like, because it does seem corny then.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, it makes you sound so meek. And I'm like, no, normally when I do it, I have an imposing body language to counteract the submissive of the question, but instead it just seemed like a dweeb. I know the psychology of it. I understood. I was like, she was like, I knew I fucked the whole thing up. I was like, fuck, 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 you know.
This is just so funny. I'm like, I've shot many a shots, and so I'm used to the rejection.
But
and
you're the girl.
Yeah. So what? It's a thing. That's why the podcast started. I was very like, a lot of women are very anti. They're too afraid, and a lot of times you just have to put a little something out there.
Put a little something out there. Yeah. It goes a long way, and it's so appreciated.
Yeah. But it's something like, it's kind of ingrained in you if you naturally have that, I guess, masculine energy. Because I've been told by millions of people. They're like, you have masculine energy. I'm like, yeah, I can't help it.
So I don't think so.
Funny. I like that. Thank you.
Not at all. Like, I mean, I don't think so at all. And here's the thing. I think sometimes people they're conflating like self-assuredness with thinking that's a masculine trait, but that's internalized sexism.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've had female friends be like, oh, I am masculine. I'm like, no, you're just like, you know what you want, and you're like a go-getter. Like Robin Shaw was always like, I'm masculine energy, I'm masculine energy. And I'm like, I personally don't see that. You know what I mean? Like, I think you are ambitious and know what you want and are like wonderful and on it.
Oh, thank
but
you.
That I don't necessarily think of those things as masculine.
Well, that's any person that's been like a matchmaker you've had on and dating coach, they always go, No, you just need a very confident guy.
Yes.
They're like, it's guys that are not super confident and doubt themselves. They can't be with you because you're so like decisive and so sure of what you want to do that it's like it eats at them.
And also that shouldn't mean, if anything, it means more when you do it. You're a human. You're still going to be like, what's your opinion on this? Or like,
yeah,
how can I relax here? What? There's lots of room for someone else's opinions.
Oh, yeah. And anytime I'm in relationships and dating people, that's one thing they immediately say. They go, wow, you're really like affectionate and very like caring.
Sure.
And, like, incorporating like what I want in this. And they're like shocked. And I'm like, yeah, because I like you. Like if I didn't like you, I wouldn't give a fuck what your opinion was.
Right.
Or, you know, yeah, I'm like, that was the person I just dated. He was like, well, you're never affectionate. I'm like, you had a girlfriend for 5 years. I don't flirt with people that have girlfriends. I'm respectful of that. So I was like,
good for you.
I was like, well, oh, but should I have been flirting with you the whole time?
Right. Boundaries. And that's what makes it then more special when someone does.
Right. I would like to think.
I agree.
But anyway, my first kiss, I'll tell you.
Good or bad?
It was good, but it was, I made the move. And it was funny of, I tried to do the, I was like, come here for a second. And he was like, what? I was like, just come here for a second. He's like, what? And I just go, do you want a good night kiss or what? And he was like, oh, he goes, okay. And then it worked. But even then it was like, wow, I was in seventh grade being like, I got no time for this.
right. Like, I penciled you in. I already planned for this. We're doing it.
I was like, do you want to kiss or not? Okay. Because if not, I will find someone else.
I think that's really cute. I think where the only snag would be the good night kiss. He might think that that's like a good night kiss, like with your parents. It's like, good night.
No, it worked.
Okay.
It worked. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on, Emma.
Anytime.
This has been super fun. Guys, you got to follow Emma if you're not already. You can follow her on TikTok at I Am Emma Willman, and Willman is Willmann. Get those two N's at the end. And on Instagram, just at Emma Willman. And check out her podcast, Inside the Closet, with Mateo Lane. Mm-hmm. Also a great show. And you can follow us at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. And I'm at Sparica with two A's. And stay tuned for a Patreon preview coming up next. Thank you so much for coming on.
Anytime.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
this theory actually would help nice, nerdy guys that you're like, I don't know, I just can't see myself making out with them. It's almost like, well, if you're basically like, well, we have to make out at this moment.
Yeah.
That's a situation that's like, those guys, that's when they surprise you, those dudes.
Right.
And a Millionaire Matchmaker, actually, one of her quotes is, you don't know until you kiss it.
That's right. That's
and
what
so
I'm
that's
saying.
What she always tells the women with the saying. Nerdy guy. She goes, you don't know. You don't know. That nerdy guy might be packing some fucking heat.
You don't know.
He might have mad chemistry.
Yo, the kiss is everything.
Yeah.
It's really everything. If you are a bad kisser, it's like, yo, I know the rest of this is trash.
Yeah. So funny, on my episode with Palufo, I was like, can you fix a bad kisser? And she was like, oof, no. But then I was like, do you think you can improve someone in bed? Like, you could fix someone who's bad in bed? And she said yes. And I was like, time out. I'm like, how? I was like, how do you get to the bed part if you, the kissing's
is like an,
bad?
Kissing's like an innate thing. It's like, you have to spend time in the gym yourself. Kissing is free throws.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, spend time hitting your 1,000 free throws in a row. No rim, no backboard, just swishes.
Do you mean with another person, or let's be real honest here on the Patreon?
Not like on the pillows and shit.
You've never made out on a pillow or a shower wall or on your arm, nothing like that?
I feel like we're getting real honest about you. She listed off 13 inanimate objects just now.
This is very common. I've heard people talk about this, and I will admit I've made out with a pillow.
I mean, that's
I've
like...
I've done the pillow.
That's like, you know, middle school, but like, you know... Not,
yeah, but...
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, as an adult,
I was getting my free throws in, man. Don't.
Yeah.
You want to talk about practice? Right. I know all about practice. Yeah,
practice.
I had practice every day after
school.
You're
talking about practice.
And then every night with my pillow. But let me tell you something. I've gotten a lot of good kisser compliments.
Yeah.
So I'm not embarrassed to tell everyone I have made out with my pillow.
That's so funny.
If you want to hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. You'll get over 100 extra episodes, all the behind the scenes. You'll get in on the chat of everyone discussing everything. It's some hot shit over there, okay? So just join. It's $5 a month. It's like if you bought me a coffee every month. And we appreciate the support of the show. Helps us pay our studio now that we're doing video, all right? So patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. Hope to see you there.